Blog Talk Radio. Dreams belong to us. They become for us the bearers of the new possibility, the new day dawning, the enlarged horizon giving to our days the magic of the stars. Hello, radiant beings, and welcome to Awakenings. I'm Michelle Mache, and that bit of music was from Diane Garris, who will be on Awakenings. November 21st, and that reading on dreams was by Howard Thurman. Dreams do belong to us. They become us. They come through us as us. They are the bearers. Our dreams are the bearers of that to which is to come. We are absolutely living in unprecedented times. We are living in a time that has not occurred. Yes, there's been similar times from the Dark Ages to the light. Some people talk about the Greek and the Roman dynasty. However, we haven't had the connecting that we have had in the way in those other time frames. The international, national connecting, the converging, there has not ever been on this planet, on this dimension. There are in other dimensions we're already living this, but there has not been this converging flow. And what is this converging flow? This converging flow comes out of the harmonic convergence. And what does that mean? That we have been harmonized. Many of us have been harmonized, and this is why we don't really want conflict. We don't really want debating. We want to honor each other's differences, notice the differences in the individuality, but we really want to connect. There is an unprecedented time of people wanting to connect, and it's not out of trying to homogenize anything. It's not trying to ignore individuality, but yet it's a different way of celebrating individuality. When we are truly focused on our own creative expression, our divine creative expression, it's one of the universal laws, the law of allowance. I call it the loving law of allowance, but it's called the law of allowing. You see it in many of the parts of scriptures that are, you know, true. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Am I not my brother's keeper? You know, meaning, am I not to be caring, even if I don't agree with the person next to me, am I not to be caring for them? Not personally, but collectively, which means on a universal level, am I not to be caring for this individual that I perhaps don't agree with, but because I don't agree with this individual, does it mean that I start a war? No. It means I just allow and I focus on my own expression of who I am and what I'm meant to be doing this lifetime, this dimension, if you will. Now, why I bring this up is because it's interesting. In my practice, there's only synchronistic timing. And as we're going more and more into this new age, we've been living this already, but it's going to become more prevalent. More people will be aware of this. We're moving out of linear time, the past, present, and the future. Now, will that still be here? Yes, because linear time is part of the Saturnian influence, which is Earth-based. Saturn rules the Earth. Capricorn represents the Earth. So in that way, we will have that, but we also have the Uranian energy, Uranus, which is the lightning bolt. It's things happening quickly. So it's a little bit of both. We need to be living more with an expanded awareness or consciousness that is inclusive, not exclusive. How do we live inclusively when we're so different? When we may be bumping against people that in our mind might be rigid. We allow them. You express what you need to and what you feel and what you want. And then you look at that individual or that situation as a divine expression. It's God expressing through that. Wherever there's a vibrational thought, the vibration creates the thought form, creates the physical manifestation. So until we have integrated the shadow, the duality, we will have this kind of, you know, the old paradigm from the Aries Piscean era. We will have some conflict. Now, what does that mean? There is an old paradigm of harmony through conflict, and we're in that phase. And as we get closer to 2011 and beyond, you will see more of the differences being played out or being highlighted, even within yourself. So what does that mean? It means we're to look within and notice what parts of us are in conflict. How can we allow all the parts of us that are within us, the different ways of expressing, well, that's what I mean by parts or aspects. How can we allow these different parts balance expression? So the part that maybe wants to be out there in the world, that part needs expression. The part that wants to be more inward, maybe reading or journaling or writing, the part that's the hermit, the part that's very social, the part that likes to be in the material world and play the material game. I love what you're saying, Smolding Embers. It's all positive energy in the universe. Yeah, it's the complementary connecting of the seemingly opposites, the oppositions that seem to be there. And they're there only on the ego plane. It's only in the ego plane that we have individuality or individuation, but that's what we're meant to be doing here. We're meant to be experiencing and expressing ourselves individually. We're meant to be expressing and experiencing our gifts and then sharing that in a way of energetic abundance, however that transpires. So a big part of what we're doing here on this universe, if you will, is relating. How do we all relate with ourselves? It starts with us. How are we relating with ourselves? If we have inner conflict and we're trying to prove our point, that's what happens in the external world. We have the outer conflict. Now, it is said in this time of acceleration, this new day dawning, if you will, the fifth world coming in, the fifth stage of awareness, which is also the fifth dimension, that every human being in the course of time works their way back to the path of the return through one of the main rays. These rays of light can be the heart, the mind, the will. So the first center of light, the aspirant, those that are aspiring to align to the soul, seek consciously to energize on that which he concentrates during early stages in his path. And this is at the heart center. At the heart center, we have to learn group consciousness, to be sensitive to the group ideals, and be inclusive in the plans and concepts. The fourth center, the ray of the heart, which is also the ray of harmony through conflict, is how to love collectively and purely and not be actuated by a personality attraction or motive or reward. Until there is an awakening in the heart, the disciplined one, the disciple, the enlightened one, the aware one, the light worker, until he or she, us, are awakened in the heart, One cannot be trusted to wield the creative powers. What does that mean? As we connect more in the heart center, beyond the personal will, beyond the personal love, into the love of agape, love of others, love, brotherly, sisterly love. Until we have that sense of love and sense of, hey, I'm okay and you're okay, you know, let's agree to disagree, or, you know, what you're doing I'm not into, but I, you know, your divine expression, more power to you, go for it. I'm a divine expression, I'm going to be creating over here. And until the hunter can live next to the vegan or the vegetarian, we will not have that rest. Now, doesn't have to be everyone. Doesn't have to be everyone, you know, in the planet or the mainstream, but that 8 to 10 percentile that we are, it is about us aligning to that truth that we will live our own truth and aligning. Well, very interesting. The blog talk just disappeared. And I have to say, too, we're going to be talking with Shannon Kelly later, who is a shaman, and we're going to be talking a bit about magic. And this morning, and I've had some manifestations of this in the past, phenomenon that happens to give us a confirmation, physical phenomenon. By the way, you can always ask for that from you, whether your higher self, spirit, just, you know, God, collective, however you want to deem it. What happened this morning, it's interesting, I have a set of crystals on my desk because I have a few computers for work and for recording. And I also have a wonderful tarot deck, the Voyager Tarot, and I was using it this weekend on a workshop, and I had the Child of Crystals card up, and it has all these wonderful crystals, and it talks about the learner. And I had these cards leaning against some file folders. This morning when I got up, I didn't notice it right away. I was working at my desk. The crystal, the group of crystals that I had, this chunk of crystals, was moved over to the card of crystals. I didn't move it there. Maybe another dimensional aspect did. So I suppose the message, and I looked at it. So anytime you have this kind of phenomenon in your life, years ago I asked actually for the miracle of wanting to have this kind of phenomenon more in my life, not just in my practice, not just in you know, a formal session of healing, because I've witnessed and been a part of and received many, many, you know, miracles where physicality change, but I'd always had been in, you know, in an altered state or expanded state of consciousness, sometimes a trance, sometimes just, you know, altered and aligning. So at the time I was living by myself, and I had been asking for this. I said, this is fine, you know, that I have these amazing, you know, realizations and see these amazing physical phenomena in my practice, but I want some physical movement in my life. So one of the things that had happened at that time, and it started very small, one of the things that happened is I had my cat, we have a cat and a dog, my cat had this little mouse, and the mouse was mouse to mouse to my computer mouse. And I noticed that, and I didn't do it, and obviously the cat didn't do it, can't pick it up, and like I said, at the time I was living alone, so I thought, boy, that's weird. How did that the nose of the play mouse, you know, the little stuffed animal mouse, a cat toy, get placed to the mouse on the computer, mouse to mouse? So then I said out loud, well, that's interesting, but it'd be more interesting if now it was on the floor. And then I went in my healing room, my office, I was doing stuff, and when I came out, the mouse was under the chair on the floor. So I thought, ooh, this is interesting. And I kept asking, I said, well, I want to see more. And I believed it, because one of my metaphysical teachers told me, and I can see this, that any time we have a healing or some kind of phenomenon, whether mental, emotional, spiritual, or physical like this, we on some dimension or some level within our psyche have put out that call. Well, about 3 days after that, I went to the movies with a friend of mine, and when I came back, I used to have these big leather overstuffed furniture, stuffed sofa. The sofa was moved on an angle. Freaked my friend out because we came back. And like I said, nobody was living with me. And at the time, I only had a cat. So we came back and the furniture, only the sofa, was on a huge angle. And for a while there, I had a lot of these types of experiences. I had cards come out of decks, tarot cards that would do, when I wake up in the morning, there would be a reading there for me. In fact, I think I'm going to start asking for that again. Maybe it's going to be happening again. And why does this stuff happen? It happens to get our attention and to reconfirm and reinforce our inner knowing that we do alter by our thought, not only our thought patterns, we alter by our energy, the subtle energy, by knowing how to work the subtle energy. One of my teachers way back when I was working more telepathically, because that's a whole different thing than being psychic or psychic medium or channel, we used to do spoon bending. Mine was so-so. His was amazing. And then also moving a glass of water just with our mind, just with our intention. And part of my learning was until I could do that, I couldn't go to that next level. You know, anyway, all little games. Now, it's all fun, but what does that mean? How can I use that? People are saying, big deal. You know, but number one, it's fun. But number two, I think it really, really, number zero, what's really important about that is that it teaches us that we are these energetic beings. We are these forms that just alter and change, and we are not static. We are the physical body, the dense physical body, is slower perhaps moving energy or particles that seem to be non-moving, but there still is a movement. And by what we focus on, just like we learn in physics and quantum physics, what we focus on as the witness becomes so, becomes present or more solid. So that's why if you're beginning to focus more and more on the non-denser material or slowing material, and you are focusing more and more on what we call metaphysically the unseen, but that which can be felt, you will have transcendent experiences. You will have experiences that connect you with your expanded consciousness, your expanded awareness, and be able to live in that space. You will be connecting in with your multidimensional aspects, your multidimensional lives, living more multidimensionally and simultaneously. Now, why is this important? Because we are going out of predominant linear time. What this means is that we will be living more by symbiosis and synchronicity, symbiotic beings. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no individuation, but we move into a space of cooperation. That's why I was so tickled, I think it was a couple weeks ago, when we had Chad from Aware Talk Radio on to talk about his Inner Circle Publishing. That's what got me excited when I saw he's dialed into the symbiotic connection, symbiosis, cooperation versus competition versus conflict, because that's where the co-creation comes in. Eventually, more businesses will be like that, and people will be like that. I mean, that will be more of, hey, here's the energy exchange. When we live in that mode, it naturally raises our vibrational frequency, and we begin to connect synchronistically. So instead of having to wait and wait and wait on something, we begin to notice that we're not in our own timing or the ego timing, or not even necessarily you know, definitely not mainstream consciousness timing. We're in divine right timing. We're in the divine flow. So we're moving out of a time, isn't that interesting? We're moving out of a space, a headspace that says that something takes a certain amount of time. We're moving into timing. Now, that spirit works either in a holy instant or the 11th hour. And once you begin to live more synchronistically and more symbiotically, once you begin to live with your expanded consciousness and you really know and feel that you are not just the programmed, constructed ego, that your true ego or personality is an individuated aspect from the soul, from the original source of the spirit of the all that is, that life force, pranic energy. When you live that way, you're not freaked out by linear time or mainstream consciousness time or thought form and belief of you need to do this or you need to do that. You begin to live more synchronistically, more connected to your inner knowing. You live, begin to have spirit-led living where the subtle energy guides you as to what's needed and necessary in your life for your next transformation, for your next fulfillment, next life enhancement, your next creative project, your next self-expression. And so what begins to happen then is you're in the pulse, you're in the flow, the pulse of the heart, the universal heartbeat, which starts with the earth heartbeat, which we're represented by. You're trusting and being led by your own right timing. And that's by your heartbeat, by your breath. You're in this timing and the heartbeat of your breath, which puts you in the universal flow. And that's the space we want to experience and express from. That's the space we want to experience and express from. To live more multidimensionally, aware and connected to the simultaneous realities. This brings us into that divine right timing of synchronistically, where we're connecting synchronistically. And you'll see it happening more and more, and you'll notice it more and more, and you'll ask, let me have those confirmations. Then we move into the spirit of play. That meditative state is also the state of play or creating. When you're creating or self-expressing, when you're caught in up in and co-creating, when you're in a wonderful expression of creativity, your vibrational frequency is raised. So when we can play with life, play with the co-creations of life, the experience of life, we are raising our vibrational frequency. So that spirit of play is the meditative state. Remember, it's not so much the meditation practice or how you get there. It's the state of consciousness, the state of being. True meditation is a meditative state. It's a state of being. And so when we're living more from that space of consciousness and awareness, there's less conflict because it's all okay. If I have parts inside me that seem to be divergent, I know how to balance them. I rise above. I ascend. Ascending simply means to expand your consciousness. And so I ascend. I move into harmony. I move out of conflict. I move into harmony through my higher consciousness, my higher awareness that all is perfect, all is fine. And I'm hearing from Prem, there's a oneness flowing in your expression in this space. Yes, and this oneness is co-created by each and every one of you that listens. Every download, all the hundreds, thousands of downloads, everybody connecting locally, non-locally, nationally, internationally, globally, universally. Because out of this harmonic convergence, we are now in the converging flow. What does that mean? And you see it, by the way, I've been seeing it more and more on mainstream media, more on the television, actually, that people are using that term converging. There seems to be a converging here. Yes, because metaphysically we are all converging. So when you're in the converging flow, that means all of us come from all parts of the world, all different beliefs, all different viewpoints, all different points of view. But we meet in the oneness. We meet in the center. I almost see it as people coming, you know, the star beings, people coming from the stars, from the earth, the mid-earth beings, people coming from deep into the sea, coming from the beach, coming from the mountains, coming from the sky, coming from the country, coming from the skyscrapers, coming from the little towns, coming from the urban area, coming from the suburbs. Learners, all kinds of people coming together, converging in the wholeness and the understanding, the recognition, and the reality of the realization of the one love, one light, one wisdom, and now playing and saying, instead of the debate, instead of the conflict, you know, we negotiate the differences. Yeah, do you think this would, hey, where can we meet in the middle on this? To meet in the middle and then to play, to really create, to really be in that co-creation of your own life, to fully express your soul's gifts and talents. That's what we're meant to do. We're all just meant to be here doing us. Just be you. And so when more people do that, then we're going to have even more and more inventions. We're going to be from that Einstein mind. We're going to be activated. We're going to allow acceleration to take place. But this magic all begins with us. This magic all begins with us. We are that which we seek. And so in this way, many of us take a path that is of healing, bringing wholeness and balance to ourselves and others. There is a magic in us that we're all awakening for each other, living with this awakened state of being or consciousness, we can help the greater good, the greater whole. That's when we move into that cooperation. That's when we move out of the conflict into the harmony. So you may notice right now and for the next few years that there is conflict, and those, you know, you say the right wing and the left wing coming together. We had it the other day on the show, you know, someone wanting to incite debate, which, by the way, Red Heart, I don't know if she's in the chat today, but so wonderfully helped and handled on that, because I was actually going to write this person that kept coming in a note, because he was saying that I was censoring the text or censoring him. But, you know, to me what it is, it's, you know, when I go to the ballet, I know I'm not going to see a football game, but I have nothing against a football game. That's fun, too. When I go there and see a baseball game, that's fine. You know, or if I'm going to go hear, you know, a heavy metal band, that's what I'm going to do. You know, if I'm going to go to a cafe, I have that, you know, that's what I'm going there for. So, you know, the awareness and the description of awakenings is for those that are waking up or are living awake in their own lives and reaching out to make a difference also in the world just by their being. So there's a focus here. We're recognizing we're in this converging flow, so anyone can come in and listen. Anyone can respond and even disagree. It's not about everybody has to agree, because the idea right now in society is living cohesively with interdependence, not codependence, and not independence, but interdependence, where we are independent yet dependent. There's a cooperation there. There's a synergy there. However, you know, there has to be that respect. There needs to be the awareness that each is on their own divine path, divinely guided. And in a sense, getting along. How can we all get along with our differences, with our individuated expression that we are? And when we do that, we're able to tap into the magic of our life. we're able to focus more on our gifts, our talents. And that's really what it's about, sharing our gifts and our talents, sharing in wholeness, sharing in understanding. So I'm going to connect in with our next, with our guest that will be coming on the air. And Shannon Kelly, who is a shaman and also has a book out on initiation. And he really helps people deal with the magic of their own life, connecting to that magic. He's got a book out called Initiation, The Foundation of Belief. And let's see, so far not answering. So let's see what... Hello?
Hi, this is Shannon. I can't make it to the phone right now.
But he's not answering right now.
Please take your time, give me your name, number, and whatever message you may have. I look forward to talking to you, and take care. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Well, hello, Shannon. We're here to from On Awakenings. So everyone, it may be us having some interesting turns with the guests here. So I really also want to hear with all of you how your awakening is taking place in regards to this idea of harmony through conflict, which I want to say through consciousness, it's really about having our own inner harmony, being in our own divine right timing, and then experiencing and expressing life through that lens, if you will. You might, like I said earlier, a lot of people, you know, I've been getting a lot of emails, a lot of messages about people saying a lot of, especially with this election, a lot of people have been experiencing disharmony in their life and with those that are closest to them, that there's this divide, you know. And we do talk about it metaphysically, that there is this great divide where the left and the right, you know, separate out. Okay, I'm trying to call our guest and see what's happened. He's not answering. So, Shannon Kelly, the shaman, let's see what's, no, don't, he's not answering his phone. But anyway, I want to know what you're thinking about that, that great divide that is meant to happen. It happens in every kind of shift. The Eastern traditions talk about it as that balancing point, that balancing is like balancing on the head of a pin, and that the only way we know we're balanced is by having been unbalanced. The only way that we know that we are aware is because we shift into a space of realization that when we weren't aware. So since we are expanding, we're these spirals of light expanding. There's this expanding consciousness. We're expanding more and more and more with our awareness, our understanding, our expression. Also, this expansion brings an expression of more authenticity. The more we live in expanded consciousness, expanded awareness, the more we're expressing more of ourselves, our true nature. So it's not just consciousness. Out of the expansion of consciousness comes the expansion in living. And really that's also what Awakenings is about. It's supporting and connecting into the converging flow of the expanded consciousness. Which means at some point, out of this expanded consciousness, we're all meant to live in a more expanded way. And that's perhaps different for, you know, different people, actually. But you'll know, part of it is you'll know what's right for you by what's resonating. That law of resonance will guide you to the space and place of the most divine co-creation for you. But you have to be attuned to it. Now, Tammy in the chat is saying, as awareness expands, I'm finding I handle the disharmony better or more awarely. I like that. I wonder if you can explain a little bit of that, either in the chat or calling in. I agree. Yeah, and I think that I think with the more awareness too, Tammy, if I may, is that the more aware we are, we see where others' motivations are and where they're coming from. And a lot of times people are coming from their wound. And perhaps with our awareness, the more aware we are, the more we're living awake, we can understand, because we at one point perhaps have acted from our wound or we're aware of our wound, we can relate better to people. It doesn't necessarily mean we want to hang out with them, you know, for great lengths of time, but we don't have to cut off. And see, that's another thing. Coming out of that, the Aries age, you know, the astrological chart goes from right to left. But when you're looking at universal patterns or collective patterns or archetypal energy or stages of patterns, it rolls the other way. So we kind of, again, there's a symbiotic kind of connection there where the universal energetic patterns are rolling one way and our individuated patterns are rolling another way. So when we were in that Aries, it was about conflict. It was about assertion, but it also was warring because Aries is ruled by Mars. So it was about a warring nature and nation. We were on the cusp of that Aries Pisces, and Pisces was a lot about self-sacrifice, us and them, or the guru is out there. You know, now the guru or the teacher is inside. It always has been. So now we're moving into the space, and like Tammy is saying, not judging others but having discernment. Yes, one of the higher spiritual principles is spiritual discernment, that we're to be discerning what is right for us. There are three main afflictions of attitude. And when you think about attitude, attitude has to do with how we go through life. And the three afflictions in attitude are judgment, comparison, or fear. And so it's possible to move from judgment into discernment, or a judgment that judges balanced with love, tenderness, and mercy, with understanding, so that we move out of judgment but into that discernment, as Tammy is saying. We move out of comparing into noticing and understanding. And we move out of fear. And I'm just talking chronic states here. And we move out of, you know, chronic judgment, chronic comparison, chronic fear, because all of those have their space and place as a energy in motion, as an emotion, you know, as an awareness or state of being. But to keep it flexible, The fear is just a tempering button. It's a button to check in and see, wow, is this right for me? Do I proceed or do I not? Do I move forward or not? But again, it's about not living in those stuck states. Okay, I'm going to try Shannon again and see. He was on a retreat, our guest Shannon Kelly, and if he's not there, I've been wanting to do some dream reentry interpretation and working with animal totems. So we may dive into that if Shannon is not around. Yeah, interesting. I did confirm, but you never know. You never know what's going to happen. He's in his magical mystery tour, or at least was. Hello, conscious. Everyone here and feel in the energy, the connecting flow.
Hi, this is Shannon. I can't make it to the phone right now. If you have a message, please take your time.
Yes, does anybody have a message for Shannon?
Yeah. I look forward to talking to you and take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Yes, Shannon, this is Awakening.
Please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Shannon, it's Michelle Mache with Awakenings and all our Awakening connectors here. You can call in at 347-539-5122. Maybe you're delayed from your retreat. I know you said when we talked or emailed that you were in the middle of nowhere in Arizona or something. So anyway, 347-539-5122. Call in if you can. Otherwise, we'll have you back on Awakenings at another time. Until next time, keep awake. Okay, so who knows what's going to be happening with that. So someone was saying with the dreams. Yeah, I'm very you know, part of, for me, the interpretation of what not only is individually happening with all of us, myself included, but also collectively, is you can see it through the archetypal energy that comes through not only our dreams, but what you see more predominantly in the world right now. Okay, bye, Sylvia. Take care. What you see is a reflection of our inner consciousness, our inner state of being, all of us, individually and collectively. So I like to look around. I notice what TV shows are coming, how they're casting people, whether it's newscasters, new shows, what kinds of new shows are coming on TV, on the internet, on the webisodes, what new technologies are there, who are using these technologies, how are these new technologies being used, what books are more prevalent right now. Movies, definitely films, that also shows what is in the collective unconsciousness and what is trying to come through. And so remember, what's ever trying to come through of the collective, out of the unconscious, to bring it more conscious into our awareness and be integrated, is all a reflection of the vibrational frequency, the shifting of that energetic matrix, and the thought forms that that energetic matrix shift is creating. So out of those thought forms come new beliefs, new mental constructs, new ideas. And out of these new ideas come the physical forms or physical manifestations. So one way is to read it through our dream or connecting into our animal totems. And I think he is on the air. Let me see. Hello, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, this is Shannon.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
Good. Finally got through.
Okay. We called a couple times, but I don't know. Maybe did you get my message?
I got a message from my son. Email.
Like the telepath. Doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm sorry. Rather confusing. I'm surrounded by computers and phones, and nothing's working.
That's okay. Oh, Prem, we're already somebody saying hi. Prem Law saying hi to you. Well, you know, I had at one point in the beginning of the program, I got disconnected from the switchboard. So, and I've already been having some, you know, magical manifestations this morning. So I always attribute these things to the shift in vibrational frequency, you know, so it's always in perfect timing and perfect alignment.
Well, so we have connected.
Yes, exactly. So I just want to share a little bit your background as a shaman or working more shamanistically, I will say. I loved one of the things that you mentioned in something that I was reading about you, is that magic is in each of us, and it's what awakens the heart and stirs the soul to new levels of feeling and passion. And you help people do that. That seems to be your mission. You also have a book that is out, Initiation, The Foundation of Belief. So I also want to touch on a bit on that and just welcome you to Awakenings.
Okay, thank you. Well, where do we
first
start?
First off, I was telling people you were in Arizona or something. You were in the middle.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, I was living in Arizona, and I had spent a number of years as a therapist. I have degrees in psychology, masters, and I worked as a therapist in a number of high-stress, high-need places, placements, jails, and those kinds of things. And I was always working with a high need level type of person. And after a while, I started realizing that I was needing a little bit more. And I started going into the desert around south of Tucson. And I would find myself out there just sort of wandering and listening for the first time, looking for what I wasn't sure. And
kind of your 40 days, 40 nights. You went into the...
stretched over about 4 years, yes. And so within that, I started listening to myself, and then I started really seeing the connections I did have. Mm. And the things I had been denying the majority of my life about my connection to people, how I could connect, and how in my family I saw how people had what I would consider magic, how they would work with other people and have a understanding of people and things that I was just becoming aware of, what I call energy. And back then it was just, it was the totally unknown. And so I became more conscious of it in my work, and I started spending more and more time in the desert, and my teachers came through that. They came through literally the plants, the earth, the hawks were a constant companion with me. And
what kind of hawk? I have red tail hawk medicine. I have hawk medicine also. What?
Red tail. They were. Okay. I was constantly surrounded with red tail hawks. And so for years, I kept going out there any possible time I could. I was a single father at that point, so when I had time, I would, you know, that's where I'd be found, is somewhere out in the desert or up on a little bit of a mountain somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, I was finding how unhappy I was with the work I was doing. I was trying to help people, but really not doing it at the level or working with the people that were really had that strong desire to be helped, so to speak.
Yeah, there you go.
And so one day I had been working down near Mexico, just on the border in a small town, Douglas, Arizona, at a charter school doing some work. And I got a hit to go to this specific place. It's called the Playa. It's a dry lake bed in around the town called Wilcox.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found my way there, and it was just
Burning Man Playa.
Say what?
Big Man Playa or no? Big Rock, Big
no.
Top? No.
Okay. No. So I found myself on a small mesa overlooking it. And I was just totally confused why I was there. And then all of a sudden, I spotted a small dot out to the east. And then it came straight at me. And it swooped around me. It was this huge red tail. And it flew off to the northwest. And at that point, I realized that I was no longer supposed to be in Arizona. And I needed to start looking at going somewhere in the Northwest. Make a long story short, I did some searching and I ended up in Oregon, where I found that I had absolutely no desire to go back and do any of my psychology work. And all of a sudden, the doors opened for the shamanic work.
Mm.
And with this, I started, people started coming to see me. And we worked with different levels of connection, helping them understand just little pieces of themselves a little better. And it just continued to grow and grow and grow. And that was approximately 15 years ago.
Hmm.
And
yeah, that's one of your awakenings, then.
The awakening was really when the hawk circled me, and I knew I could no longer do what I did.
Now, let me ask you something, Shannon. How did you, because a lot of people are in the, you know, this succession of awakenings that are taking place more and more as we're in this quickening. A lot of people I hear, you know, the question is, how did you trusted it? How did you trust that? What was the support, or how did you know, and how did you trust what you were receiving?
This is a big piece of my teaching right now. This is
perfect, because I'm telling you, that's what I hear all the time. And by the way, in the chat, Prem is saying, wonderful to hear your story. That is the $64 million question right now. How did you know, and how did you trust it? You know, how did you flow out of what you were doing?
I knew that I finally came to the awareness that everything I was trying was failing. When I tried to make something happen, it could look good. And it could actually, on paper or in form, succeed. But it didn't make me connected. It didn't make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't truly successful for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that was very external to me. And when this awakening happened, it was the, excuse me, I still get emotional about this.
Yeah.
It was the moment that I had a complete trust, a true faith that I was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And it was a point of having to step so far away from my ego, so far away from what I thought should be done, and so far away from my control that I had held so high and so important for so long. And when I finally understood what I now see as that surrender.
Yeah.
Then it had no other option other than to succeed. It had no, you know, I was in concert with it for the first time in my life, really. But I have to this day, I have to constantly check where my ego is. I have to constantly check what I'm doing. And I'm not the source, and I remind myself constantly I'm not the source of what I do. I'm a conduit. I'm a teacher. I'm a sometimes I even refer to myself as a tour guide, because all I can do is show people where to be, but they have to have the passion and the desire to and the trust within themselves that they're doing the right thing. And it's getting past the ego and that expectation of what should be to truly see what is. And once you take that step, you start seeing the simplicity.
Yeah.
And it's the simplicity that drives it.
Mm-hmm. So the more simple.
It's very simple.
It's what you're,
you know, I mean, that's, yeah. that's what it's. It continuously amazes me how simple this is. You know?
Yeah.
Part
of what I hear you're saying. Go ahead. Part of what,
ahead,
and if I can just interject here. Part of what I'm hearing, because I'm also getting response in the chat, is, you know, in my interpretation, I'm not sure what yours is on this, but it's really a stepping away from our constructed ego, not our individuated self or aspect or the, you know, the soul, you know, or the, right, or the ego personality. But we all get these constructed egos that we've kind of formed and have been formed on us.
Right.
And they kind of act at some point, right, as a little straitjacket.
Right.
Right?
That's exactly, in the book, in what I defined that was the identity ego.
Okay, I like that, yeah.
It's the ego that gives us who we are and how we are.
Mm-hmm.
And without the identity ego, then what we have, what I call the humanistic ego.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the combined universal understanding of who we are and how we play mm-hmm. and connect in that larger spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes away that individual strive for power and control and really allows yourself to be more in sync with what is around you, with what you know you would consider the universe or
mm-hmm.
Otherworldly levels.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge is not, and so this is when I'm constantly working with my students, it's not that we can't be who we are,
mm-hmm.
but it's to be honestly who we are.
Yeah, oof, oof.
It's to allow ourselves to see us. We, sometimes we don't want to see the new gray hair. We don't want to see that we've gained the 5 pounds. We don't want to admit that we're not as sharp as we used to be. And what
mm-hmm.
happens is we start denying it, and then we start running into walls because we can't see and we forgot to put on our glasses,
mm-hmm.
and we deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it said, I don't know how you feel about this, but it said that, the constructed ego, it doesn't like perceived limitation because it bumps up against its mortality then, that, and I don't even necessarily, ultimate is obviously the physical separating
mm-hmm.
out the death, but any loss, the constructed ego, any loss or transformation, like in the tarot,
mm-hmm.
the death card, any transformation, it doesn't like. It's trying
right.
to keep the status quo, right?
And that's exactly what I would call, I would call the identity ego. Is because
okay.
that is how we exist and how we assume we'll exist forever.
Mm-hmm.
And
you mean it assumes that it's going to list? It's you're saying that it is that identity ego assumes that it's going to have this way forever. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Whatever the state is.
Whatever the state is, this is you will have this power, you will have this whatever, and it is forever. And it doesn't want to see the fact that there's change, there's evolution, there's demise, there's all sorts of game and loss.
Mm-hmm.
It
doesn't want the loss. Yeah.
Right. These egos don't want to lose or be seen as less.
Mm.
Now the irony
mm-hmm.
of this is when you actually get beyond this level of ego, this grasping of control, then you actually see what you do have connection with and how vast your existence can be and how you will in many ways live forever. In some, maybe not the physical construct,
mm-hmm.
but you will always exist within this universal structure, in this morass of energy here that we exist in, and so we never die.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that allows a sense of freedom and connection at this point to go and truly do deeper and more powerful levels of shamanic work. In the shamanic work, there's a constant. Every time I leave my body to journey for others or do soul retrievals. To do extractions, there's a death in me.
Yeah.
And so what happens is when that situation is over, I'm reborn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reconstituted.
Yeah.
And each time it gives me a little more strength to go further.
Mm-hmm. That birth, death, rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
That spiral, that spiral of expression and expansion.
And it's continuous.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Tell us a little bit on the note of what you're talking, going a little deeper, that the initiation is the foundation of belief.
Okay.
As
I've done this work, and I've had a number of students that came to me, and I found that each, no matter what they what background they came to me with, in order for us to begin to do the work, that they had to have some very basic constructs that they held to be true, that they could hold and rely on within themselves in connection to the work that they do. And what I started looking at was just some very simple processes, and one of them being integrity. You do what, you know, if you say you do it, if you're going to do it, then you do it. The acceptance is simply to truly see what is,
yeah,
and see it for what it is. It doesn't mean approval, and it doesn't mean denial. It just means that this is what is, and it's kept that simple.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is being present, that if you're going to do the work in this moment, you cannot be venturing off into the future or worrying about the past.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be here to see what is truly to be done. And then that leads to the simplicity, because if you remove a lot of the distractions of the past story or what could happen, you usually have a very simple task in front of you, or a much simpler task.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, this is where the patient steps in.
Mm.
And you have to allow it, give it time to work, allow yourself time to relearn or delve into it. And through that, you work with the consciousness, and that's an all-around knowing, what I consider the 360 knowing of the world and the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the next level would be the awareness, which is your functioning world.
Mm.
And that's the people you know and the things that you do and what you're attached to on a regular basis. And then there's your focus of what is happening in the moment.
Mm.
And all of these, to truly have someone step in to do deep, intense in any number of belief structures.
Mm-hmm.
These are consistent. These are consistent pieces that are found, that they spend years trying to teach students. Oftentimes, you know, in monasteries, this is what they teach from the age of, you know, 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and indigenous cultures with the shamanic, when the shaman takes on an apprentice, this is what's being taught, that it can be counted on, that they really work with what is there. This is getting past the ego. And,
right.
And so it's a initiation is understanding these tools. These tools allow you a foundation that once you've established, that you can go anywhere. And you can make
that
foundation bigger and bigger, because your integrity gets bigger. Your integrity goes deeper. And then your magic, that piece of you that connects to all this wonderful power, can just go deeper and deeper. And mm-hmm. you understand then a greater connection to spirit. You understand yourself as a greater tool for spirit. And you're blessed with the opportunity to be part of the work that is being done.
Mm-hmm.
So
that you're this channel, this conduit,
mm-hmm.
right? You have an awareness of that.
Yes, and you honor that conduit, and you honor that this is what you're here for.
Mm-hmm.
One of my basic rules, I keep telling my students, is that my rule is that I show up every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really can't tell you what's going to happen that day. I have my little day timer, and I have my PDA and all that stuff, but I can look at it and forget about it the next moment. So I just show up. And the person that walks through is the person I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're done, we've done the work we need to do, then they walk out and somebody else walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's working with this basic foundation is my structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows for a lot of clarity, a lot of and a lot of clean work.
My understanding, and to me that is I've had my training also in initiation, shamanic inner work, that you're trained in the structure that gets you there to that moment to wait and see what is that, which is divinely guided or guided by spirit or whatever the form, however it comes through. But there are those steps that get you there, but then there is that ultimate trust, if you will, that you just allow in the moment. In the moment, you allow what, like you're saying, you have your, you know, your PDA, you have everything, you just show up.
This is the true moment of faith, the
mm-hmm.
true moment of expressing your belief and your faith in what you do.
Mm.
And like I continually joke, I can have days where I'll see 8, 10, 12 people, and then mm-hmm. I'll have days where I see 3 or 4, and it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mindset is I will be there until I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just as much energy after the 10 people as I do after the 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. Is it that you're, because you're connected to that energy, that subtle energy, and being just the conduit?
Right. And
it's
I
not
know,
coming from the ego, right? It's not coming,
right.
Or it's a little bit, it's coming through. But
the ego is there to support and communicate. It's there
mm-hmm.
to assure the person that you know what you're doing. It's
mm-hmm.
not to assure the person that you have such a connection to spirit or God that, you know, you're the only access that they should count on.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's right, yeah. That's old paradigm, moldy paradigm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, last thing, it's the last thing I want is to be responsible for everybody I work on.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to learn to be responsible for themselves.
Yeah.
So I can use my tools. I can use my gifts and teach them how to do that.
Yes. Now, do you feel that we're moving more into that as a collective, into that inner knowing, or coming, let's say, to someone like you, or you know, to what I call walk the steps? You know,
mm-hmm.
we have people, mentors that we walk the steps with. Do you feel that there is a shift, that it is more about guiding and directing, and that person or people or group that you're working with, they're then, I want to say, actualizing themselves. It's more about them taking their own responsibility for their
yes.
life. Like no one's saving or healing, perhaps assisting in it.
Yeah, the only person that can save you is you. It's
mm-hmm.
it's I can go into trance, I can go into do the inner work, I can do the journeying with the individual, but when we come to a door, I stand with that person by the door until they choose to go through it. And I will not cross that threshold without them. But when they cross the threshold, I will be with them. It has to be their experience. This is the one thing that I learned in the desert, because I had no teacher in human form, that my experience was my experience. And nobody physically was there to do it for me. Nobody was going to face the demons that I had to face of my own. But when it came time, it always felt that there was somebody, some energy, some level of connection with me, that I could go through the door, I could step across the threshold and still be supported.
Mm-hmm.
And so my teaching comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
That we are, we're on this journey. We're really the only ones that can make these decisions. If I were to make your decisions, then I control you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, there's unfortunately people that like to do that. But that's not one of my, you know, favorite things. It's the last thing I want to do. I keep telling my students I'm going to just hop in my Jeep and just go hide out on a mountain for the rest of my life, and they, you know, sort of nervously laugh.
Not yet. Not that we're in the middle. We're in the middle. Yeah, we have a question. Is there something about, is it one light? I'm not sure. Is it a recognition of support? Well, I think that's part of that, the path, don't you, Shannon? That at one point you begin to recognize that we are supported.
Yes. Yes. It's look back in your life and see the trauma that you've experienced. No matter whether it was something, maybe a little, even a bike accident where, you know, you fell off your bike and scraped your knee and you were hurt at the age of 3 or 4 and you're traumatized, and or something extremely severe like physical or, you know, sexual abuse. Those are our experiences, and we have to deal with them and own up to what was. And only we can do that. We can have the people help us. But when it comes to this level of work, we have to see what it was, accept the fact that it did happen, and then work with the energies to, number one, assure that we're safe and that things like that never happen again. And then to start working with others to teach them how to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Meaning how to do the same, you mean in the healing, or to move beyond that which has happened in the past?
Well, that's part of the healing in itself, yes. But yes, to do the healing or some aspect of the healing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I believe, anything that's happened has, at best now, has a story-like quality, because it's not happening in this minute unless we recall it. And we can re-manifest these things. And the challenge is to see, once again, you have to take away some of this ego and understand we'll never know why people do things. We can only say that this was done to me and this is my response.
Mm-hmm.
And if I choose to hold on to this response, then I choose to be trapped if it's you know, a restrictive response or a fear response. Or I can learn from this. And not that I honor what happened, but I never have to stand in fear of it happening again.
Mm-hmm. And you teach people that it's really also about getting out of that trap. I like when you said that trap,
yeah.
Because I find when you see, you know, when we've all perhaps been there, when you've been in the trap, you realize and you begin, you, there's a the next step is keeping yourself in the trap or and then trapping others.
Exactly. When I worked in the prison systems, prior to stepping into the shamanic work, I worked in maximum security prisons in Arizona for a number of years, and I specialized with sex offenders for a period of time there, and I worked also with victims. And the way that they were being treated and worked with was to constantly recall the trauma. And it was about reliving the trauma, expressing the trauma. It wasn't about putting it in perspective of the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It was more about looking at the story and keeping the story alive.
Mm. Oh, was about keeping the story alive for them.
So what? I'm sorry.
It was about keeping the story alive for them. It was just
for
reliving
them, yeah. So they couldn't release, and so. What I found is when I work with, and I have a huge amount of abuse survivors that I've worked with over the past few years, that our goal is to to let them understand and take ownership. Yes, this did happen, but to take the pain away. In the sense of they don't have to relive it. They can acknowledge it was a trauma, but now that was a short period out of their entire life, and how to take the rest of their life and use that trauma as a tool and understand how to protect themselves. But they don't have to carry on the pain of being traumatized. And it allows a lot of freedom, and it allows a lot. It allows for a greater level of consciousness and strength for the person when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
That they won't get.
What do you find is best? What do you find is vested? I find it's a form of perhaps a lower expression of creativity. But I want your take on it of people that are invested in replaying the story or replaying it, rehearing it, recreating it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts to why?
Well, there's a joke, but unfortunately, I probably couldn't tell it on the show here. But certain people.
Well, you could. It's internet.
Well,
I'm the only censor here, I've been told. I was a censor in the chat when people. No, but yeah, you would.
there's just, let's put it this way. People will stand in a room full of crap up to their neck just because it's warm.
Ooh, wow! I like that. Oh my God, yeah.
And wow. That's they can get past the smell. It's warm.
Mhm.
And so that's what they choose to live in.
Hmm.
Now, to get out means, yes, you're going to be uncomfortable. You know, there's going to be more than just the smell to get used to. You got to wash it off. You got to face the world. You got to see what's, from the neck down.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to deal with not only living, but you've got to deal with the soul and the intention and purpose of this being. In my own way, I did, We all do this in some form, and mm-hmm. I spent the first probably 30 some years of my life avoiding doing what I'm doing today. I had bad relationships, drugs, this, that, you name it, just to not do what I'm doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my version of standing.
To not go this direction, right?
To not, because I didn't want to be responsible for others. I didn't want to heal. I watched my father, and my father and my grandfather on my mother's side both had gifts. And I watched my father be unhappy because he never could come to terms with his. And in that way, he became very, you know, he became a very abusive person. And I used to think it was abuse until later it was, as I see it now, it was his confusion and his frustration and his fear that there was something happening that he couldn't get connected with and he couldn't express. And people around him were not, you know, this was in the 30s and through the 50s, that, you know, you do something like that back then and people just considered you nuts.
Yeah.
And
part of what I get with this, Shannon, if I may, is that I call it the rule book, that somehow this manual gets handed. But the manual, because it's not individual, doesn't work, this mainstream manual. And we don't yet have enough in our structure, in our systems, you know, whether, you know, definitely family, societal, or, you know, schooling, to support the awakenings and the opening, you know, like what you said, what your father was going through. So all that confusion, people just begin to stuff it, allow it to be repressed. They begin suppressing, and they say, hey, I have this rule book. I was told if I just do this, if I do A, B, and C, that everything, I'm going to be okay. Everything's going to be good, and I'm going to be happy.
That's right.
And for and so it's, so on one hand, you're asking people, and we're, you know, in this new awakening, get rid of the rule book. It's not working. But they're looking on the other hand, going, oh, but I have to make my own.
And
where
well,
is the
the fact is, and you know, well, this is what I learned is, the rule book is really already made for us. All we have to do is show up.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah.
See, that's what that's what after when I finally stepped into what I was supposed to do, and I allowed it to happen, there was no longer fear. There was no longer a need to hide. There was it was an identity of, you know, who I was, and it became me. And once it hits that level, you know, there, you don't need the book, because every day is the lesson in itself. And you just show up and you'll be graced with the information on how to deal with what you've got in front of you. I know it sounds almost too simple to be true, but you're doing what you love, right?
Absolutely.
Now, how hard is it for you to get up and say, I can do this today?
No, and the days that I can't, because I have so much going on, I hand it over. I just say, I just show up. I don't even think.
Right.
I go, I move out of thinking, and I just go
exactly,
in.
Exactly, see.
Flowing.
Exactly. And, you,
and then
that,
I have so, so much energy then.
And you don't need a book to teach you that. Yeah. It just, it, you, you, so the manual you get rid of is this manual of expectation, of obligation, of fear and confusion.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like moving from that idea of the manual or the book, but that it's inside you, that you start tracking or mapping it. You know, I want to say by your own GPS system, you know, but through the subtle energy, following that intuitive awareness, that guidance. And earlier in the show, I was talking about, you know, living more multidimensionally, these allowing these other aspects of us to come through, you know, or to hear the message, the word of spirit for ourselves. You know, my contention, my feeling is more and more of us are going that way. That's the direction that at one point that will be mainstream consciousness. I know it, and it's deemed so. I mean, that's the prophecy. And so all of us, you know, people like you and the work that you're doing is assisting others, walking in those steps so that they too can birth this in. With
and
all of us.
That's one of my biggest challenges was to start writing the book. Because I'm talking about simplicity, and yet, okay, now I've got to write down and explain it.
Right.
And, you know, and so here I am trying to explain simplicity, and it's one of the longest chapters I found in the book. It's like, no, we got to shorten this. It was too much. But the thing is what I realized is I don't have to write. I have to give some direction, but the main thing out of this book and the books, because I've got several books that are going to come from this, that it's the permission that I can give through these books, the experience showing that it's possible, and the simplicity is there. The book is more about to trust yourself and believe that you do possess
mm-hmm.
whatever gift that it is yours. And so, you know, that's about as close to any sort of manual, you know, we can come. But
perfect. Oh, Shannon, we know we're winding out of time here on this level, this dimension. I'm glad we're able to get you on for a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll definitely keep the door open to have you back on again.
I'd love
and
to.
And I want to. Good, good. Now, I've been giving the website soul-truth.com.
Uh-huh. It's hyphen truth.
Truth.com. I've been putting it in the chat, and the book is Initiation, the Foundation of Belief, and you can get
right.
it at soul-truth.com.
Right. And mm-hmm. they can also access it through my own website if they wanted to do that.
Which is?
And that's SK Magic, MAGICK.
Uh-huh.
At msn.com.
Okay, wonderful. I put that in the chat also. And the listeners and participants in the chat are saying please to thank you for sharing your story, and they really got a lot out of what you had to say and what you were sharing. And Tammy's saying, please tell Shannon how much we loved this time with him.
Oh, well, thank you very, very
thank
much.
Shannon.
And I would love to make, you know, if ever again, I'd love to take the opportunity.
Good. We'll do it again.
Thank
you so much, Shannon. And all, thank you so much. As you all know, you can subscribe to Awakenings via RSS feed or iTunes. I love when you rate or comment and give feedback. And also email me with your suggestions, your understanding, and your feedback. You are awakening. You are the converging flow, as we all are. It happens with all of us. So much peace and light. Until next time, keep awake.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. Bye.
One by one, here and there, they are being gathered out. There's a gathering, freeing from the limitations, freeing from the trap, freedom from past political, religious, cultural heritage. The members of the new world order of light, love, and peace. The light beings are gathering, organizing, forward to restful souls. Groups which are destined to bring the new era of consciousness, the new era of peace, goodwill. And it is happening now. It is happening in love, light, wisdom, and awareness, this gathering, this converging flow, coming together, celebrating the individuated consciousness, the individuated expression of the God that is expressing who as you. Thank you. connect and heal. Until next time, keep awake.